Nevada Mornings. Social Studies. Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Let's do this thing we call Social Studies to kick off the 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Sarah Cazell is here to take us through it. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Let's do this. We are on Twitter/X, at @Bickley_Murata. We're also on Instagram, at @Bickley and Murata. Follow us, participate, have a good time with us. Please and thank you. All right, let's jump into these questions. Fill in the blank, please. When the Cardinals picked Marvin Harrison Jr. last night, I thought, what?
Why is Gambo's arms raised?
Why is Gambo pumping his fists?
Well, wait, are you surprised that he'd be pumping his fists? I'm not. Are you?
What was the question?
There's, like a Gambo guy. There's a lot of emoting going on each side of me, I noticed, yeah.
Oh, there was. Well, the reaction video is there, and there's four guys on the camera shot, mm-hmm. and there's one guy who's stoic, and that's my man, Bick.
That was me. Great professional, y'all. I
was happy that they didn't overthink it.
Yeah.
I was happy that they didn't overthink it because I had already written down Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name on my little tally sheet, and I didn't have to white it out.
There we go.
That's it for me. This is the guy that I wanted all along, and I know there was so much speculation leading up to it, but they got their dude. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what most of our listeners responded with. Just thank goodness they didn't overthink this. Thank goodness they didn't mess this up. Narf the Z poll says, wow, it actually happened. I felt like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. We've all been wanting this guy forever and not knowing he was ours until the very last second. That was intense. Monty Ossendorf tweeted us and says, we got the guy that will make an immediate impact on our team at a position of extreme need. Hopefully he can win WR1 spot over Michael Wilson, with the laugh emoji.
If I were Monty Ossendorf.
Yes. Thank you for tweeting us, Monty Ossendorf. Sandra Deo Clobber says, there was no thought from me, only the sounds of maniacal laughter at the expense of the speculative ridiculousness that has plagued the team as well as our fan base for months. Grumpy Mike says this was another quality move by the professional general manager running this team. Few people made references to that. Thank goodness it wasn't an inside linebacker.
Oh!
Another position that I don't think was drafted last night, was there?
And then Jim Beal says, okay, my thought was, that's a good start. Now we just need a quarterback I can believe in.
Oh.
He says, sorry, I am just not behind that guy. All right, we're sticking with the Cardinals.
Can't even say his name.
Jim Beal? or that guy. Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Jim is not alone, though. James Gordon Patterson wrote something similar, not believing in Kyler Murray.
I love that guy's work in 500 Days of Summer, James Gordon Patterson.
You're making my dreams come true. Okay. Right, that was heavily featured in that movie, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I hope I didn't imagine that. What was more surprising to you guys from last night? The fact that the Cardinals stayed at 4 and took Marvin Harrison Jr., the fact that they stayed at 27 and took Darius Robinson, or neither surprised you, you lout?
The way the night shook out, it turned out not surprising me. I'm glad we can kill the narrative of, oh, well, Monty Ossendorf always trades down. Well, he did last year. It was
50% of the time, he still trades, Vinny.
Yeah, we can kill that, though.
He didn't tinker last night. There was no need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I took solace in that. The ability to not have to increase the amount of chips you have in front of you and actually cash them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to outsmart yourself.
Yeah.
It was either Dave or Wolf, I can't remember now, but one of them said like they'd be shocked, stunned if they made that pick at 27. That they were even going to move.
He had a very strong belief that pick was going one direction or the other.
All right. Neither move was surprising to most of our voters. To 55% of them, you loud. 33% say they were more surprised by the fact that they stayed at 27 and took Robinson. Only 12% say they were surprised by staying at 4 and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Seebacher 44 says, we actually seem to have a competent GM who doesn't reach. He sticks to his board. And that means he is not set to one style of the process, like always trading. Okay, final question. We got to talk Suns with Game 3 tonight at Footprint Center. The Suns are down 0-2 to the Timberwolves. Up against a wall, guys. What do the Suns need to do to finish this weekend tied 2-2 in the series? Do you believe that they can do it?
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not sure how strongly I feel that they're going to do it. And I think we've given some of the things that they have to do. They've just got to get better offensively. Game two, it dramatically improved their rebounding and they improved their defense. Now this offense has got to shake this team.
Totally agree. They can do it. I feel the same way as Bick. Yeah, obviously, this is professional basketball, and they have three very highly paid stars on their team. They can do it. And the belief that they will do it, and you know, we're hitting the airwaves Monday morning tied 2-2. I mean, that number is very small for me. Mm-hmm. But yes, they can do it. And what Bick said, I mean, the offense has got to click to some degree. Under 90 points, or under 100 points, two games in a row, that's not acceptable.
No.
Even against good defense, you got to find a way to get your points.
Yeah. There's not a lot of hope among our listeners, or at least those who responded to the question, can they finish the weekend tied 2-2? Brad Ludlam says, sure they can if they do not pass the ball. Because passing leads to turnovers.
That's what we mean. More ISO.
He says, I shouldn't have smoked that opium.
Yeah, right?
Dante says, to finish the weekend tied 2-2, just play ball like they know how to. Kevin Durant is top 10 all time. Book is the greatest Suns player ever. Grayson Allen was prolific from three this year. He's questionable for tonight. Bol Bol was tall all year. Just play ball. I love that. He was tall all year. Ross Vegas. His thoughts are coming from a movie I believe you guys are familiar with. Ty Webb, I'm going to give you a little advice, Benny. It's Danny, sir. There's a force in the universe. It makes things happen, and all you have to do is get in touch with it. Stop thinking, let things happen, and be the ball.
Be the ball.
And last one from Blake. He says, at what point will everyone accept the fact that the Suns are exactly what they've been all year? Inconsistent, turnover prone, and historically bad when the pressure is on. When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Mm-hmm. There's fairness in that.
There is. Yeah, we can't argue with it.
Do we have any responses from the Zen philosopher Basho, who once said...
What did he say? F. He said...
A flute with no holes is... What's the line?
Something, and then it... A donut with no holes.
Is it Danish? That's what it is.
No.
So stupid.
We need a refresher. We haven't watched that movie in a while.
Yeah,
we haven't been very sharp on the quotes.
No, we haven't been.
I feel like I watch that movie every day.
Yeah, I know.
From 6 to 10.
Have you ever felt compelled to watch it?
No, I need to.
You with Caddyshack, Bick with Fletch.
It's not that I'm resisting it. I just never think to. I go home and I move on with my day.
Right, I'll text you later. Don't blame me on that.
I'll text you later.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Social studies at Bickley_Murata on X is where to get involved. Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in today, noon, 3 o'clock hour. Snag the exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Again, those code words coming in the noon hour with Wolf and Luke and the 3 o'clock hour with Burns and Gambo. Coming up next, more thoughts on night one of the NFL draft, both local and national. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, Hey, it's Luke. After staying put and landing Marvin Harrison Jr. and Darius Robinson in round one, would Imani Austin-Fort and the Arizona Cardinals have up their sleeve for round two? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
They do not have a trade that is close right now, but there are questions about each of their top three wide receivers. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk remains unsigned at this particular point in time. Deebo Samuel has got a big cap number next year at a time when they have to sign Brock Purdy to an extension, and their number three wide receiver, Juwan Jennings, is on a one-year contract. So there are questions about all three of their top receivers, which helps explain why the 49ers tonight used their first pick, their 31st overall selection, on Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall.
It's Adam Schefter last night on ESPN. 49ers raising some eyebrows late in the first round. Ricky Pearsall, local kid, former Sun Devil, went to Florida, elevated himself to a first-round pick. Let's start there. So we've talked a lot about just the gut shot after gut shot that Arizona sports fans have received.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them for me last night. You know, I talked about it on the draft show, the number of Pac-12 players that were picked. There was the Pac-12 fingerprints all over the first round in a conference that no longer exists.
Right.
But part of that, too, was two former Sun Devils. Not two Sun Devils, but two guys who continued and bettered their careers in the SEC are first-round picks. I mean, you want to talk about a fan base.
It hurts. I agree with you.
Outside of the Coyotes fan base, the Sun Devil fan base, man, it is just a daily feeding of crap.
I totally agree with you. And the Pac-12 connection, too. USC, with Caleb Williams, he was there 1 year, okay?
2 years.
I'm sorry, 2 years. Caleb Williams was now the sixth number one overall pick in USC history.
Wow.
And that broke a tie with Georgia, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma for the most of any school. Can you name them, Vince Marotta?
Ooh, the sixth. Well, Reggie Bush should have been on the list,
okay,
but he wasn't.
But he was not.
Sixth overall. Tony Baselli?
Nope. Mm. So 2003, there was a quarterback named?
Carson Palmer.
Carson
Palmer.
1996, a wide receiver.
Mike Williams.
Who said, give me the damn ball.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, 1977, a running back whose last
Charles
name
White.
Rhymes with hell.
Oh, Ricky Bell.
Very good. 1969, a guy who killed a wife and a waiter.
Oh, look at that.
Allegedly. And civilly.
And then Ron Yeary in 1968.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah.
How about that, huh?
Look at that. Danny Joe trivia.
Yeah, right?
Didn't know that was coming.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Penn State, Washington all produced multiple first-round picks this year.
Now, since we're doing trivia, University of Arizona, Jordan Morgan, first-round draft pick, first Wildcat drafted in the first round since? We got two Wildcats on staff here.
The cornerback.
Yes. 2008.
I can see him right now.
Antoine Kaysen.
That's it.
Yeah, Antoine
Kaysen.
Chargers.
16 years without a first round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's
before Antoine Kaysen, how long was it?
Because 2000 Trung candidate.
Yeah. It's not exactly a every year thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go onto any sports website today without seeing your list of winners and losers. Think about this. The Chicago Bears have the potential to have a downright scary offense in 2024.
They did excellent, and it fell in their lap.
It did. Mm-hmm. Their receiving core, they went out and got Keenan Allen in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You pair him with DJ Moore, and then you add Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if the Bears are like now 35 points per game?
And they got DeAndre Swift in the offseason, too.
Listen, even though there's the history of the dysfunction of that franchise, their general manager is doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, even when the Bears were at the top of their game, mm-hmm. I mean, those 85 Bears, and they had some stars offensively, it was not an offensive team.
No.
This is probably going to be the best offense in Bears history. I know it's a low bar.
It is a low bar, but you're probably right.
The Atlanta Falcons were the big talk about surprises. They go out and get Michael Penix Jr. at number 8. I got a kick out of the video, their press conference, Terry Fontenot, their GM, and Raheem Morris. they asked about the pick and, hey, which one of you called and gave the news to Kirk Cousins? And they were like, oh, that's a private conversation. We're not going to give you any of those details. We'll just say it's never a good time to have that talk with a quarterback when you're picking another one. Maybe Kirk will share some of that information with you. You better hope they...
You know, it's one of the worst times. You know,
right
weeks after you sign that quarterback to be your quarterback for years.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, Penix is not one of these like 19-year-old guys coming in.
He played 6 years of college football.
He's going to be
24. And when he gets on the field, he might be 28 years old.
That's what I was
going to
say. When this Cousins contract expires, he'll be 28 years old.
Yeah. That's Chris Wanky territory.
Yeah,
it's also one of, like you were saying, Dan, if this is the guy they wanted, if this is the QB they circled, draft him. It's your future. But it sort of reminds me of like when the Suns drafted Cam
Johnson.
It turned out being a good draft pick, but couldn't they have done this 10, 15, 20 picks later?
Yeah, listen, if I were Arthur Blank, that's the question I would ask. I wouldn't excoriate this GM for choosing Michael Penix Jr. Because if it does work out, if you've got a succession plan now mapped out, now you might have your quarterback checked off for the next 7, 8, 9 years. If all goes well. That what I would need to know is why at 8.
Yeah, but to Jarrett's example, it's not the same because even though you reached on Cam Johnson, if you're the Suns, you know he's going to contribute for you in year one.
Yeah.
The Falcons were all in their free agency approach by getting Kirk Cousins and giving him $100 million guaranteed. And then with a very, very high profile draft pick said, we don't necessarily need to win right now.
Did you see?
You can't have it both ways, can you?
Any draft projections at all over the last months?
I still want to see somebody produce one. I want to
that
see
had Penix ahead of J.J. McCarthy.
There was at the combine. He was one of the big winners at the combine. You remember that footage of him throwing the ball in the hotel? Remember
that? Because a lot of the other top guys didn't do any
right.
Much.
Well, exactly. But that was about the time he peaked. And so J.J. McCarthy went at 10. Bo Nix went at 12. Were the Falcons concerned that if we don't do this, then the Vikings might go Michael Penix Jr. instead of J.J. McCarthy?
Except everybody knew the Vikings loved McCarthy. Everybody knew that Bo Nix and the Broncos were linked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know where they could have.
Yeah,
maybe they could have been afraid of the Raiders. But.
Yeah, that to me, I don't fault them for choosing who they chose, especially given Kirk Cousins' age and the fact he's coming off a pretty serious injury. But at 8, you might have squandered some draft capital there.
Yep, that is definitely true. Coming up next, 9:30 on a Friday morning.
Oh boy,
means Jared Carlin is putting the finishing touches right now on the Sports Kebab.
He'll be running to the printer.
Why doesn't this work? It's Bickley Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
You already know what question is coming, guys. The day after the first round of the NFL draft, we've got a poll question on ArizonaSports.com. It's time to hand out a grade. I hear that enthusiasm. How would you grade the Cardinals' first round? A, B, C, D, or F?
I think the sensible thing would be B.
Yeah. B. How about that for elaboration?
Well, 76% of our voters give them an A.
Okay.
19% say B. 3% say C. 2% give them an F. 0% give them a D. I feel like we learned a lot just now.
We always?
It's just a reflection of the excitement. That was part of the discussion on the draft show yesterday. Is this the most popular draft pick for the Cardinals? And it is for a long time.
Yep. Josh Rosen was a very popular draft pick. Yeah. Remember that guy, Jarrett?
Oh, did you guys see the video going around of Bills fans from that draft recording themselves waiting for the Bills to announce their pick? And the guys were going, Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen.
Oh,
and then they say Josh Allen, and they're like, boom, and they throw their hats and they're ticked off.
Josh Rosen.
I'm looking forward to watching Josh Allen throw to himself this year in Buffalo. That's going to be fun to watch. Thank you, Sarah. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
I'm from the 1900s. And I just think you got to say it. Like, the world is so future now. And I feel in the way of it.
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
All right, Jarrett. The floor is yours.
Okay, and I will take us right to the floor. Don't worry. This is the sports kebab. And, you know, the Suns have a huge game tonight. But there's not going to be any Suns jokes in this sports kebab because, let's face it, somehow, in the last full week, the Suns have only played two games. There's not a lot to talk about. This is unbelievable. This series is more stretched out than the waistband on Andy Reid's underpants.
Oh, boy. There we go.
The barometer right
there's
there.
There's the barometer.
Well, luckily, there is no Suns joke, so I won't ignore that one. But I what I will talk about is the draft, because I'm a little worn out today, guys. I worked the late-night NFL draft spectacular on the station last night and did not get a ton of sleep. Now, the negative to being exhausted is I might stutter or stammer or mispronounce a word or a name or, you know, seem awkward, confused, or sleepy while talking. But the positive is that that will work as a perfect homage to Roger Goodell. Yes, last night was the draft hosted by NFL commissioner and enchanted department store mannequin that didn't come all the way to life, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, he began the draft with a pre-recorded skit featuring Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, and Eminem, which I thought was really cool because they have a lot in common, those guys. Think about it. Johnson, Sanders, and Eminem are all unique talents. They're all Detroit legends. They all have the same amount of playoff wins. Now, we know Goodell is not the most charismatic, and he was not exactly the greatest actor in this skit, causing many to say, "Hey, Roger, don't quit your day job." I disagree. Roger, please quit your day job. And regardless of how he is a commissioner, I also don't get why he keeps having to host these things. He is so awkward and uncomfortable.
How awkward and uncomfortable is he?
He literally always looks like he just peed himself. Some people have riz. He has whiz. Roger Goodell is so stiff, plain, and dry.
How stiff, plain, and dry is he?
Roger Goodell is so stiff, plain, and dry that we served him at Passover instead of bread. Speaking of Passover, did I mention that I dislike this holiday? No bread. But I'm tired also of hearing this story, okay? If I want to hear about a bunch of people being tortured in the desert for years before executing a mass exodus, I'll ask about the coyotes, okay?
Oh, man.
No, but really, even the crazy parts of the story, I'm done with. Okay, Moses, big deal. If I want to see a hairy Jew divide the Red Sea, I'll look at the comments when I play a Cardinal song parody, okay?
Oh, good joke.
Yeah. Now, saying all that, I really can run a Seder, okay? Maybe I should host the draft, because Roger Goodell, my goodness, when you think of a host for a big event like this, you want someone with charisma, charm, command of a room. You want an MC like, you know, The Rock or Jimmy Kimmel or Kevin Hart. Roger Goodell is backwards, confusing, and makes no sense. The only MC he reminds me of is Escher.
Wow.
Escher.
Google it.
Yeah.
My young crunks.
I mean, if... Google. But Roger Goodell, man, he mumbles, he stammers, he mispronounces names. He's like if Harry Carey drank milk instead of beer. Seriously, if Goodell were any more dry and vacant, Alex Morello would claim he's going to bid on him in a month. But it was quite a scene, though, at the draft. 275,000 people in attendance. I mean, usually the only time you draw a crowd like that in Detroit is at the unemployment office.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
that's rough.
That's rough. I know. Who wrote that one?
What?
The draft.
What?
Now, the NFL draft started with the Bears selecting... It started with the Bears selecting the USC quarterback Caleb Williams. A good pick, though some were turned off that Williams was seen crying during a game last year. Now, I think that's ridiculous. And anyone who is criticizing this young man for being completely heartbroken, distraught, and physically, mentally, and emotionally destroyed clearly doesn't understand the mindset of a quarterback that knows he's about to have to play for the Chicago Bears. Well done. At number four, the Cardinals made many fans happy by picking Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, this was the most excitement caused by a Marvin since Travolta's gun accidentally went off in Pulp Fiction. Oh, jeez, I shot Marvin in the face. Oh, jeez. Seriously, though, when the Cardinals actually did it, the Cardinals actually made the pick. They picked the best player available, who also played the position they most needed. It is amazing to have a GM who actually makes logical, smart, competent moves. I mean, it sounds easy, but Cardinals fans didn't have that for such a long time. Long time. And finally, the first surprise, and really, really, really big surprise of the draft, happened when the Falcons drafted cornerback Michael Penix Jr. at 8, despite giving Kirk Cousins a huge contract this offseason. Even crazier, apparently Cousins didn't know this was happening. I wouldn't worry, though. A contending NFC team blindsiding a famously anti-vax, highly paid veteran quarterback by drafting his replacement in the first round? I mean, what could go wrong?
Well done, Jared.
Thank you.
Well done.
Jared Garland, the Sports Kebab. Follow him on Twitter at JarrettGC. Coming up, some final thoughts. But before that, here's another thought. The Cardinals secured their franchise wide receiver. We want you to gear up for football season. Text the word jersey to 620-620 for a chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey when they become available, as well as a Kyler Murray autograph jersey. That's jersey to 620-620 for your shot at winning. Now we're going to tell you about final thoughts coming up here on Bickley Murata Mornings on this Friday, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Yeah, draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. That other side, we stay winning.
Found the clean version.
Yeah, you know I had to do it for you.
We Johnny hope. Manziel and Andrew Wiggins, the first two guys mentioned in Draft Day by Drake. Song's out there a little bit. Man, it's aged a little bit, I should say. Johnny Manziel, by the way, kind of attached to that.
Johnny Manziel!
He's connected to that Reggie Bush story. Now he's going to be able to appear at Heisman events again. You can't stop me. I'm as dark as Angel Crowley, but he's still got. And by the way, we didn't even talk about this possibility with Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back.
Yeah.
Is he eligible to be in the Heisman House Nissan commercials now?
Shouldn't he be?
Shouldn't he be? Mm-hmm. Like, they got to have some. I mean, the spot writers for the. They got to be salivating over the possibility, right?
Have to be.
He kicks the door open. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Where you been, Reg?
Yeah.
I love it.
Draft day by Drake. Today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid. Off the grid. Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
I want to play this. We're big fans of Mel Kiper Jr. on this show, especially at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. When we get him on every year to talk about the draft, we just walk away amazed at what is in that man's head. But I want to play this for you, and this is out of respect. There's a guy... he's a comedian, and he gained fame on social media. His name's Joey Molinaro. We might have played some of his stuff before. But he's got a video that came out earlier in the week. Mel Kiper previewing the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit. Listen to this.
Yeah, bigger deal. I got Detroit. A few things stand out. Number one, historic town, home of the Ford Empire. Henry Ford, one innovator, reminds me a lot of another guy walking into Detroit right now. The Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. Talking about two guys who can put a machine together and keep it moving well. And then number two would be the music, right? Detroit Rock City by the band Kiss. Some people say if I put some makeup on, strike my tongue out, I can be a part of that band. And then, of course, you have to mention the legendary Motown, the performance by Michael Jackson, Billy Jean. Certainly not my lover, but wow, what a tune. And then, of course, yes, the real Slim Shady. And then two Trailer Park Girls go around the outside, around the outside. Two Trailer Park Girls go around the outside. Absolutely love that song. Listening to it before every draft. I'll listen to it this year. Reminds me a lot of another white underdog who can cook his opponents in this draft, Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Different flags. Concerns about his size and durability, but I think at 29, perfect fit Detroit. Slide him in there and keep this machine moving and moving well.
Wow.
He also does
this fantastic
modern Seinfeld where he does exchanges between Jerry and George. That, by the way, that just proves that the show could be timed. That show could have ran forever. Very funny.
That's excellent.
Big weekend for the Arizona Cardinals. Big weekend for the Phoenix Suns. We'll start with the Suns. This series, when we hit the airwaves at 6 o'clock, stands at what, Dan Bickley? I'm feeling 3-1 Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. I'm holding out hope that they can pull off, you know, Achilles' last stand here, if you will.
Don't bring up Achilles when Kevin Durant is involved.
No, you're right. That's a good point. I was just bringing up a Zeppelin song, but yeah.
Think the 3-1 matters where the 1 happens? Like, are you predicting 3-1, it goes down 3-0, and they just, like, show up for that last
game? That would be different. If they lose at 2-1, that will be a failure.
It's dire either way to be 3-1 headed back to Minnesota. But, yeah, there is a difference between the two.
Yes.
And I've seen some people suggesting online maybe the Cardinals go get another wide receiver at 35 and maybe not a corner. I still say stick with the corner. Get the receiver later.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bill Rabinowitz, Baxter Holmes, Eli Drinkwitz for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Wolf and Luke are up next. We leave you with this. All right, life. I don't like you and you don't like me. But let's get through this
thing.
So I can start killing you with beer.
My son will be top 25 at flicking boogers across the room.
He's going to catch me first.
The Sugarland Space Cowboys.
You know, some people call that team Maurice.
Dan Monson. Dan Monson. Gordon Monson. Let's go 500.
Do your job.
Oh, my God, West Virginia.
Desiree, we fast ball.
Heinous. It's a dereliction of duty. It's something. Something really bad, Vinny.
Well, I like New York. I'm here to be your quarterback in the big city.
Bad game. The bad game.
O'Neal.
O'Neal.
Dick?
Two of the worst passes in the history of the Phoenix Suns organization.
I like pistachio and chocolate.
Hey! Be sure to tune in here on Arizona Sports.
It's been a complete crap.
Complete crap.
You know, the playoff series doesn't start until the road team wins a game.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi.
Why, hello there.
Do you have to let him linger? Well, do you have to? Yeah, do you have to?
We'll tell you about the butt next.
Look at you, number 9, loser.
You haven't seen his poop your pants face.
My entire diet is 11.
How bad were they?
Al McCoy is spitting knowledge. Did a whole segment talking about butt.